This week I read a magazine story about privatized prisons, the prisons that the Bureau of Justice has contracted with outside private firms to run these places. And apparently there has been a great deal of unrest in these prisons. And the article I read said this: despite the official line about gangs, the unrest in prisons was actually due to shockingly bad medical care. The prisoners were protesting and rioting because they could not receive decent medical care inside the prisons as run by these private companies. And so the Department of Justice has done a lot of research and investigation and has directed the Bureau of Prisons not to use private contractors anymore. This thought of prisoners not receiving good enough care is a dilemma for us in a free and democratic society. How do we treat humanely people who are incarcerated? A little part of me wants to say, well, isn't it their own fault for being in prison in the first place? Why use resources to give better quality care to the worst of our society? Why? Because we are human beings. Because we at least aspire to be a just, compassionate society. And for those of us here, because we are Christians. And even those persons are part of the body of Christ on earth. It would be a lot easier. It would be a lot less trouble to dismiss others, to withhold care from those in prison or who otherwise don't deserve it. We could rationalize by saying, isn't there enough to do to help those who do deserve it? And then we come across the gospel of Jesus Christ. The key line in today's reading for me is, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Sinners. That would be me. That would be all of us, sinners ourselves. We are called to forgive even those we might view as undeserving or irredeemable. Because the absolute truth is that none of us deserves it, if we're speaking of the grace of God. If we try to justify ourselves before God, we remain in prison. Because no one measures up to the gift of grace. It is a gift given by God. Still, we do love our imagined contrast between the deserving and the undeserving. It simplifies our lives a little bit. And then it comes down to the realization that all of us make mistakes. None of us measures up for grace. And yet God invites us, embraces us, forgives us, and we are in response called to invite, embrace, and forgive other people. Now, if we want to, we can compare ourselves to others, and we can always come out ahead if we choose the comparison standard carefully enough. We may not have done what they did, but we too have made our mistakes. We have put ourselves in prison by our actions and regrets and fears and desires. And yet God gives us care, nevertheless. God helps us and cares for us until we can find our way out of our self-made prisons. God wants, after all, what we want. God wants for us to have completion and fullness and restoration of the relationship between God and humans and among humans. God and all human beings, even those we conveniently view as undeserving or irredeemable. We have to remember that the righteousness of God is not a reward for hitting an impossible target. It is a gift from God to all of us. Unfortunately, our self-absorption and our self-righteousness about others and whether they are deserving or not can keep us from bringing others to God. We show others not grace, but an imagined transaction where we believe our good behavior has earned God's love for us. If we think about the two stories that Jesus tells in today's passage, it makes me want to ask what exactly precipitated these two stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin. They were a response to criticism by what one commentary calls religious insiders surrounding Jesus. Those people couldn't believe tax collectors and sinners could be included. They were thinking, shouldn't that privilege be reserved for the leaders, the ones who know the rules and the ways of religion? Why were those other unwashed others being included? The better question for us Christians is, why do we feel threatened when others are included in the grace of God? Why do we want to winnow them out and judge them? Why do we feel threatened even, not only from other Christian denominations being part of the chosen or the accepted or the embraced, but the thought of even other faith traditions being embraced by God? Why does that threaten us? Apparently, we don't get the concept of grace. It is not a zero-sum game where someone else has to have less so that I can have my share. And the sad part is we miss out on the full experience of grace when we try to decide how it should be parceled out. And we don't celebrate the gift given to us by God if we worry about whether they should be included. And we certainly do not draw others toward God if we are judgmental, trying to figure out who's in and who's out, as they say in the college playoff ads. One of our Eucharistic prayers that we use, not rarely, Eucharistic prayer D, I used it one Wednesday evening at a service, and in it there is this line: to the poor he proclaims good news of salvation, to prisoners freedom. And after the service, someone unfamiliar with the prayer came up to me and said, which prisoners are we talking about? And I said, all of them. And then I corrected myself and said, all of us. Every one of us is held captive by something. A sense of obligation, our fear, family needs, financial systems, regret, anger. We spend much of life languishing in the ultimate privatized prison, the prison of fear within the human heart. Every one of us needs care and forgiveness. Every one of us needs to dream of freedom. And so now the question gets closer to home. Why should we worry about the medical care of prison inmates? Why should we worry about the care of prisoners? Because we are the people of God, empowered and expected to take care of the prisoners and all of the least of these. And because we ourselves